Record testing, 1, 2, 3.
Darkness, when the night is still night and the day has not yet come, there is a brief opening. There is an opportunity for us to imagine the dawn once more and to breathe new life and renewed aspiration into a world that is still emerging around us. The thought of the coming dawn ignites and inspires my imagination. It fills my heart with immense wonder and a little fear, but ultimately with hope for what this world can yet still be. And I believe it is in that threshold space between night and day that we choose to come together to be in religious community, when we choose to gather here into this loving sanctuary of friends, old and new, and collectively, as Unitarian Universalists, celebrate and lift up the precious gifts of life and love. This morning, I want to talk about one of these gifts that we share. It is the gift of prophetic imagination. In these recent weeks and months, imagination has become our greatest spiritual resource, and truly, it always has been. Imagination, of course, is not a new term for us, although it may not be an idea we often associate immediately with religion. For many, imagination is something more of a child's sport, a tried and true gift of the young mind that allows for the most creative of afternoon playdates. How many of us, though, can recall those days of wonder and imagination with such clarity we had as children? I look back on those days with deep gratitude for the freedom it opened in me to experience the world more fully. One of the most formative stories of my childhood was about a young boy named Harold who possessed a purple crayon that, like magic, opened his heart to the power of his own imagination. Harold was an artist. He could lasso the moon, he could climb an apple tree, he could flee from monsters on his majestic sailboat. Harold could create anything with his purple crayon, but first, he had to imagine it. But if imagination is suitable for children alone, then at some point in our lives, perhaps we became discouraged from practicing it. Perhaps we can recall a time in life when we reasoned ourselves away from imagination, when we put away our purple crayon and said, enough with wonder and with this playtime. The internal deliberation could have gone something like this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. But imagination is so much more than a childish way. It is the primary tool. It is the way of the prophet. Our living tradition calls us to be prophetic, to be dreamers of the world, of a world grounded in justice, equity, and compassion. It is in our DNA. James Luther Adams, arguably the greatest UU theologian of the 20th century, offers us these words. We have long held to the idea of the priesthood of all believers, the idea that all believers have direct access to the ultimate resources of the religious life and that every believer has the responsibility of achieving an explicit faith for free persons. As an element of this radical philosophy, he went on to say, we need also to affirm a belief in the prophethood of all believers. The prophetic liberal church is not a church in which the prophetic function is assigned merely to the few. In other words, each and every one of us in this room and all of our children learning right now in religious education are empowered by our shared tradition to be prophetic in our living today, to be courageous in our dreaming about where we must be headed in the months and years to come. We are called, as James Luther Adams suggests, to share in the responsibility of making history rather than merely being pushed around by it. And it's true. As a religious people, we have been movers and shakers for centuries, from abolition and women's suffrage to LGBTQ equality movements and environmental justice. We have made enormous impact in the world through our collective ministries as Unitarian Universalists. But all of this work began not with action, but with imagination. In our first reading, Walter Brueggemann reflects on the prophets of the Hebrew Bible. He suggests that just as the prophets did in their day, we must also focus first on strengthening our prophetic imagination and to not get too hung up on the complex implementation that would follow. Because as he argues, our culture is competent to implement almost anything and to imagine almost nothing. Think about that for a second. He says that our culture is competent to implement almost anything and to imagine almost nothing. Somehow, our immense capacity to create and to implement something new has become diminished because our vision as a society has become too small. It has shrunk, as Brueggemann frames it. But those who hold power, both those in the Hebrew Bible and today, are frightened of imagination. They are frightened by the artist who by their very definition imagines and creates new realities in the world. They are frightened that we might reclaim the capacity that we have always had, the capacity to harness our prophetic imagination and then to implement a future that at this very time seems almost unthinkable. I suggest then that we look to the artists and to the prophets of the past and of today. We must lift up our artists, our musicians and storytellers, our painters and dancers, those known and unknown, those from long ago and those emerging today, those beyond this room, and each and every one of us in this room. And so we look to the past. One of the most powerful expressions of an artist boldly resisting the devastation and hopelessness of their day is the story of Vidran Smajlovic. I was a little too young to comprehend the seismic scope of ethnic and religious conflict that was emerging in what is now Bosnia and Herzegovina. Before the war, Smajlovic played cello for the Sarajevo Opera. He was connected to his cello. It was a part of him, and how he moved through the world. You can see it in how he created his music. But in June 1992, the world was suddenly a very different place. Daily artillery fire was the soundscape of the crumbling city. Dust and debris from buildings lined the streets. People tried to keep on living as normal. They had to. Hope was one of their few remaining resources in the now blockaded ancient city. One day, Smajlovic walked through the city in full concert attire with his cello in one hand and a small folding chair in the other, and he stopped in the middle of the main market in Sarajevo, where just 2 weeks earlier, 22 individuals lost their lives, and another 100 were wounded while waiting in the bread line. Smajlovic unfolded his chair at the scene of unimaginable death and began to play softly Albinoni's Adagio. There was no audience. There was no stage lights beaming down at him. The two passersby who stopped for a moment fled to take cover as more bombings echoed through the city. But Smajlovic didn't move. He wasn't there for an audience. He was committed to playing each afternoon for 22 consecutive days in honor of Sarajevo's dead. He wasn't there for glory. He was there to breathe new life and renewed aspiration into his city, into the people of his homeland. Later, when asked how he could dare to be so brave in the face of devastation, he said, "My mother is a Muslim and my father is a Muslim, but I don't care. I am a Sarajevan. I am a cosmopolitan. I am a pacifist." Then he added, "I am nothing special. I am a musician. I am part of the town. Like everyone else, I do what I can." we do what we can. The art of imagination, the prophetic work of the church, of the religious community, inspires us to do what we can in the world today. And so we look to the present. The last couple months have been very hard on all of us. It has been a time of fear, division, and violence. It has been difficult on the ties that bind our nation together. A few weeks ago, I went down to Atlanta, Georgia, to be reminded of the strength of our diversity as a nation and the hope we must hold on to in our work ahead. I went to Atlanta to meet with over 200 college students who gathered from around the country to imagine a better world. They came as they are, authentically themselves, authentically American, rooted in their own religious traditions as Muslims, Christians, Sikhs and Jews, Unitarian, Universalists, and from many other backgrounds. They came to imagine a world where interfaith cooperation is a social norm, a tool for building the elusive, beloved community. The Interfaith Leadership Institute, hosted annually by the Interfaith Youth Corps, provides an opening, an opportunity for a rich tapestry of individuals to come together in community where prophetic imagination can take hold. I spoke to this group of eager and passionate young leaders. We talked about the struggle to remain grounded in our lives when it's so easy to get knocked off balance. We talked about staying true to our prophetic vision of religious pluralism in these trying times in our country's history. And as we went our separate ways, with a national travel ban still in effect, we knew that the work ahead would be long and trying, but that the dawn that was before us, that we could almost see on the horizon when we were willing to look together, beckoned us onward, no matter the injustices, no matter the bands or the walls or the divisions that might try and get in the way. Nothing could obstruct the view of the emerging dawn. And so we look to the dawn. We look toward that powerful vision before us. Together we must think the unthinkable again, dig deep into our souls of longing. Harness the magic of the purple crayon and dare to be artists and prophets once more. What we do in religious community each and every week, whether here in Muncie or in St. Paul or anywhere else, is an affirmation of our shared capacity to make a difference in the world. It is a testament to our collective responsibility as prophets and artists in the work ahead. Of course there is so much work to do, so many justice struggles ahead, so many hearts to be softened with compassion and love. But as we act with courage in our wider communities, let us not forget to nurture our prophetic imagination, this precious gift that we share. Like the cellist of Sarajevo, like the 200 college students that gathered in Atlanta, we must choose to imagine the dawn. So go ahead and do it. Imagine the dawn. Make a wish or two. Dream wildly. Now is the time to ask yourself, your friend, your neighbor, and especially a stranger out in Muncie, what does your heart long to see in the world? Share your dreams with one another in this community and in the world. And in the many mornings to come, as we awaken and rise from the night that was into the day that is becoming, may we hold tight most of all to a deep sense of gratitude in our hearts for all those artists and prophets who imagined the dawn before us to make it possible for us to continue on this long and precious winding journey. May it be so today and always. Amen.